Friends, you hear a lot about finding or getting the Christmas spirit at this time of year. And I'd like to ask the question how you figure that out. You can find it in a lot of different definitions from people. And almost every one of them seems to have a song. The Christmas spirit is family. I'll be home for Christmas. And you know, that's almost like a Norman Rockwell picture. Those that are kind of my contemporaries remember Norman Rockwell, an artist that would always paint the family gathered around a meal or in the living room. The emphasis on relationships. Or you might think it's the preservation of a good mood, that you find and you get that spirit of happiness. It's the most wondrous time of year. It's the most. If I start, then you're going to sing with me. Or it's a white Christmas. You got it. There it is outside. Boy, it was a little messy last night when we had so many people here for Christmas and the kids' service. You know, it's expressed in all these different ways, letters and cards. Did you know that over $2 billion are exchanged just for Christmas cards? In fact, they say that nearly 2 billion people will do that. They'll either make their own or they'll buy Christmas sentiments. Based on retail and charitable contributions, this is a time when people connect with the Christmas spirit in the act of giving. In fact, it's probably the biggest part, you'd say, because everybody brings, gives, and receives presents. You're going to find that it falls in line with what Christ has always emphasized. The coming and gift of God is that which begets in us that act of giving. Did you know that St. Nicholas was a bishop in the 4th century? And he was very involved in giving gifts to the poor. It might be little Lucita's gift. It's a simple gift of green weeds that grows up into a red crown that forms the backdrop of the story of the poinsettia. Often, you don't have to have anything. It's the little drummer boy, and all he has is a solo to give to his Lord, but he uses what he has. So it's a season of generosity. It's a season that we have grown very familiar with. And it is the spirit of Christmas that fills us. But we have, perhaps, a little different take. Let the spirit of Christmas live in you takes on a different meaning. If you are in the scriptures and you hear Galatians, you can see it on the screen. This is in the EHV. I found out this morning that the EHV is on Bible Gateway. It's produced by our Northwestern Publishing House, a number of our pastors, and I have a specific reason for using this translation. I'll tell you in just a moment. Read with me from the screen. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son to be born of a woman so that he could be born under the law, in order to redeem those under the law, so that we would be adopted as sons. You'll find in the bulletin my outline, there's an element I think that we have to grasp here. An element of relief with this spirit. How do you fill up on the Christmas spirit? How do you get it? Well, of course, if you are even remotely conscious during this time of year, it's going to be about shopping, isn't it? It's almost like that's what this season represents. Whether it's online or in the stores, the shopping concept has infiltrated America to the point where you would say, well, show me that this is the most important thing. And I would say, when else do people go into debt so easily, so carelessly? It is, in fact, one of those times when people have such a desperation to make a mark, to be generous, to get the perfect gift. And often, one wonders if they're aiming in the right direction. Not just because gifts are given to children, but because they're trying to find the perfect gift that will lend happiness, that will make a relationship more important, that it's more valued. I want to talk about that because, you know, there's going to be a time when we find that the giving often is for us and not for the other person. You ever notice that? That sometimes the shopping is really more important to us than it is for the receiver, because we're trying to get the Christmas spirit. Some people will do that at parties. They'll go to the parties and put on costumes and decorate, and that's their whole element. No other aspect raises their spirits as much as getting together, and they don't want to be a Scrooge and not a tent. I suppose that's the kind of person that's going to concentrate on bringing something humorous, the gag gift. You can find those, you can be creative. Did you know there are bacon bandages? That there's a Batman Snuggie? Or if you like gag gifts, you can get a toilet coffee mug. You'd be surprised what's on the internet. A giant fist can holder. And again, those, I'm not at all saying that a person can't do those things. That's not in the least where I'm going with this concept. I'm just saying the world has such a different spirit that they're searching for. You know, it can be a very heavy burden to try to obtain that spirit. It can actually be something that is elusive, especially if in the family there's been some hurt or loss or tragedy. It's like sometimes people don't even like this part of the year. It's not the most wonderful time of the year for them. And the reason often is because they're trying to capture something by doing. By doing. And when we emphasize it's what we do that makes the celebration a special Christmas spirit, then we actually will get to the end of it and feel a sense of relief when it didn't quite go the way we wanted. And that's not the kind of relief God wants to bring at Christmas time. He has so much more than that. In fact, getting it, getting that Christmas spirit, was never something you had to work at. You're not supposed to have to try as hard as we often try to get Christmas. It comes to us. God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law. You see, He's under obligation, not us. He's the one that lowered Himself, not us. He raises us. He's the one who, through that active obedience, by being the perfect Son, has made it possible for me to smile at myself in the mirror and say, yeah, I can still say who I am because of Jesus. I can look at myself in the face and say, I haven't wrecked everything. But it's so much more than that. He was born into a culture with all kinds of requirements, earthly traditions, all the burdens that human beings place on each other. And often that's the problem, is that we place this, we'll say to our partner, to our spouse, to our children, it won't be Christmas unless this happens. Can we just let Christmas be? Can we really just let Christmas come? Because Christmas isn't meant to add to the stress and strain of our life. We come into His house today because we crave good news. And I think that once you settle down, once you take an awesome look into the manger stall and you think of that newborn child, just push away all of the other emotions and think of the joy a baby brings. In last night's video, I found it interesting. At Christmas Eve, I had a video of a baby being born in the manger stall. That baby must have been 3 months old because he could smile on command. But it made me feel good to see the baby smile. Don't you just love it that God was smiling on us even as His Son was born into the world. God's intent for Christmas and the Christmas spirit is so much better when it's spelled with a capital S. It's the coming of the Holy Spirit. Maybe He's calling. I'd like to know the other end of that conversation. I suppose I didn't write that in as a bridge to point number two, but it'll work. There's an element of faith from this capital S spirit. You know, it is the birthday of Jesus. And shouldn't it be about Him? We often say, and many of you will express that in little ways to me, that Christ is the reason for the season. Absolutely. And it's in that awe-inspiring event of a lowly mother and a lowly father who give birth to the Son of God that we are amazed. It's God with us, as we heard our vocalist say, here, right here among us, that God has come down to earth. It's the third person of the Trinity that points us to Jesus. He wants that to happen. And it has become written and sung about so broadly that the whole world really does understand the sentiment of Christmas. A child has come. The child is important to us. The child is, in fact, our deliverer. The Holy Spirit is, in fact, an integral part of the story. Often, when they do Christmas pageants, it'll be all about who gets to play what character. Who gets to be Joseph or Mary? I don't hear too often who gets to be the baby, sometimes. It's about the shepherds. It's about the angels. It's about the wise men. Have you ever noticed that there's never been a Holy Spirit figure in a nativity scene? Like, where's the Holy Spirit? That's the true spirit of Christmas. And He's nowhere to be found, but He is. Hidden behind the cradle. Hidden in the straw with the baby who has come, God among us, is the activity of the principal player in the story. Driving and surrounding all of the action, He is the crucial, critical mover and actor. And then it is felt when we look and our hearts are warmed. We believe and we are filled with joy. You see, He really doesn't want the attention. The Holy Spirit has a unique position in the Trinity. He draws all of that towards Jesus because Jesus, we know, Jesus is a human being. We can see into the face of Jesus, and one day we will. My greatest Christmas wish is that I don't push away through all of my failures and shortcomings the opportunity to have a one-on-one, face-to-face with Jesus when He says, welcome home. And I look forward to that day that I'll be with Jesus forever. To know that human being who is so much more is to have the Christmas spirit. You know, without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to recognize what happened in Bethlehem. And here's how this text came about for me. There are several translations that happen here. When the time had fully come is the NIV 84 that I've memorized and I've held on to for so many years. And when I read the EHV that has added the term set time, I thought, that's interesting. What other translations do that? Well, you have a couple that say fullness of time, the King James, the RSV, the ESV. You have one that says the proper time, that's Phillips. You have the time of completion, that's the Holman Christian Standard Bible. You have the right time, the Good News translation. The set time. Do you see? That's just like what you're going to do if you open presents here after the service. There's a set time, children, not until then. And they have to wait until the fullness of time comes and then they can open their presents. God set a special time for Jesus to arrive. A time when the world thought highly of itself. The emperor in Rome called himself a god. And the world around could not have imagined that the one who would come and lay in that bed of straw would be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Herod probably believed more than most, because when the Magi arrived, he took it seriously and he went after Jesus. What we know is that in that cradle is the hope that had been promised for 4,000 years or more. From the time of Adam and Eve, it had been said that he will crush your head. That comment to the enemy, Satan, wasn't a dare. It was the promise of a God who's in control. But it is of a gracious God. Holy Spirit is the one who has done this sending. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, is what verse 6 says. And there's good news, the good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. One man, Ralph Sockman, wrote, "The hinge of history is the door of a Bethlehem stall." You enter there, and it's all changing. You know that it was B.C. before you walked in, and it's A.D. after, the year of the Lord. And there's a significant thing in thinking about why are we in the year 2017, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. It's because all of history is aimed at Christmas. Trying to make Christmas feel more Christmassy, well, maybe it should be a little less about all the presents and more about the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you just one more time about the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control that are in Scripture. Those are what the words associated with the Holy Spirit. Do you know, very often when we are in the generosity of the Spirit, the time, that often Americans get a boost out of that. It sends that sense of completion and fulfillment to the brain, and we are satisfied that we have been, what a wonderful person I have become. It's interesting that sometime in our generosity and our giving, we can actually harm a person. You can go into a person's world and act as though you're somehow their rescuer or savior, and you're not. I notice it most when we're working in situations where Americans are trying to help those in the inner city. And I've heard it most often. I haven't experienced it when people go to Africa. And they go and they think they're going to be so generous. I'm bringing the gift. Yes, in one way, if you are carrying the gospel, you are helping, but you are not the important aspect of that. And you stand and look into the eyes of a child who may well be malnutrition. And you think they have nothing to give you. But in fact, you have something to gain. Because you're looking into the eyes of Christ. You're looking into the place where He belongs. He doesn't belong in palaces. He goes to the bottom. He goes to the dirt and the mud of your life. And He goes right to the lowest position. And there, in that child that is dying or harmed or ignorant or weak, you'll find Jesus. And you'll find that you will grow. If you can open up your eyes in true generosity and give, not just to make yourself feel good, but to bring Jesus, the gift of your heart, and the gift of your love. I hope that we don't just get a good feeling, but rather that we attempt to be in His presence and let His joy fill us. Because that's the full right of sons and daughters. And what He's talking about here is the inheritance of eternal life. He's talking about the fact that we get it all in the end. So we don't have to guard. We don't have to guard all this stuff that we're trying to control. It's not ours anyway. It's God's. And to be truly generous We start with forgiveness. I'd ask you today to think about a person that you really need to forgive and bring Jesus to them. Start with just a prayer and maybe make an intention to talk to them, but then carry it so far beyond that. As Robert Louis Stevenson said, "Loving Father, help us remember the birth of Jesus that we may share in the song of the angels, goodwill to mankind, the gladness of the shepherds as they came and they discovered he has been born among us, and the wisdom of the wise men. It isn't us who gets the Christmas spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who captivates us. And in that manger stall isn't just another gift. It's the only gift that really matters. And there, God has come to us, and he has made his home with us. And he invites us to spend that home forever with him. God be with you on this Christmas. Amen."